Hey, Warriors, and welcome back to another episode of Warrior Within. I hope you had a great week. Mine wasn't too bad. Still have a little bit of an allergy going on, but I've been feeling actually a lot better. I've actually been using a saline spray to try to help moisten my nose so it's not so dry from the pollination. So hopefully it won't be that much longer. Once spring kind of gets going, a lot of those trees will be almost done, and I'll be feeling about probably a lot better. So anyway, I've been enjoying the series. It should be done today. We're going to be talking about the Sword of the Spirit in that direction. I'm naming it Toy Swords. But this one has been like, I really did not know where it was going to go. And today I should say, it just kind of came together these last couple days. And I'm excited about this one. It's a very interesting perspective. I don't know if you'll get the same, I don't like using the word feeling, but memory feeling that I'm trying to get across. So really dig into what I'm actually saying, but also what scriptures I'm using and really think about it. Okay. So one of the things is like my memories came back when I was younger. And I'm sure some of you probably did this, but we all grabbed that stick, called it a sword, got a toy sword, and we fought against enemies. Whatever our imagination was back then, what we thought of enemies back then, but we used that sword with such fierce desire that we believe no one was going to beat us. It was such a fire that burned in us as we would fight those vast numbers of enemies, and we would win after fight, after fight, after fight. We had a faith. But where did that go? See, a lot of times people have been kind of using Luke 18, 15 through 17. Like they never really think about the words that were being stated. It says now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. Like their hope, if you look at Matthew, was for him to bless their children. But the disciples thought, hey, this is distraction. We can't have these kids here. And so they try to rebuke them. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. And this verse is why, because Matthew, it just kind of stops there and then it's a little different after this. But, and Lucas says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. I want you to think about that for one second. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. This is why the story that I was talking about above, the toy sword that we would run around with, the stick that we would run around with, is very important to think about. Why did we stand so confidently as a child with a stick, defeating those enemies, standing up against those that we felt were oppressing us, fighting against us, even though it, like I said, it was our imagination, but we won those fights. But today, we walk around in fear, we hide, we even live in our misery over standing firm in the faith. You see, Jesus was talking about that childlike faith that a child has. I mean, we were to consider and stop and think about a child has to have faith in their parents, guardians, whoever it may be in their life. They seek out some form of assurance that will help them grow, push forward in life, and stand how they should stand. As a child, we knew that in the back of our heads, mom and dad are at home. We knew that we had a home. We knew that we were safe because who we were fighting against was coming to our home, our foundation, our truth. Where is that now? Have we forgotten who's behind us? Have we forgotten where our foundation is? Have we forgotten where our faith and trust is supposed to be in? You see, that's what God or Jesus meant. Like a child. We stood boldly, confidently. You see, the sword of the Spirit is often seen as God's word, the Bible. They focus a lot of times on just the Bible without considering the understanding of why our faith needs to be in God and the Bible. A simple statement is this: to have faith as a child is to boldly stand against the enemy, knowing who stands behind us. In many cases, we had our parents, we had those guardians, but sadly, many others did not. And they couldn't stand boldly. And they struggled in this dark world. They faltered, they failed. And then, but at the same time, God did bring people in their lives, I'm sure, at points. And some people can say, you know, this man, when he was in my life, he helped me see God differently. And this is where I feel the lost art of discipling is not as strong as it should have been or should be in the past few decades. A lot of times we forget that as we grow up, we're supposed to be willing to help the younger men who are coming out of childhood into their teen years, going into young adulthood, need to have someone willing to stand with them to teach them how to walk boldly in God. Because they're coming up not as strong, forgetting that childhood relationship they had with God. Or if they didn't have any, didn't even know there was someone who loved them as much as God did. But this is where that discipling perspective that we're supposed to have is important in the church. We're missing out on opportunities to see men grow up to be men of God, warriors within who have lost their way because they have chased after this world. We need to have someone wise in the truth, keeping us accountable, encouraging us to walk with the Lord. It does not mean God can't do it. It just, as we're taught as a community, we're supposed to be doing this. We can't live in the mindset, well, you know, if I don't do it, you know, God will take care of them. No, we're called to be doing this as men. You know, we're supposed to share the gospel, but we're also supposed to encourage men to keep walking in truth. Stay faithful to their wives. To lead their families as they should. To be the dad they're supposed to be with their children. Because the sword of the Spirit is the Bible, but we also have the Holy Spirit, who we remember dwelled in us and gives us the strength, discernment, and wisdom to be able to fight and to defend. Hebrews 4:12-13 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him whom we must give account." God's word doesn't just pierce through other people, it pierces to us, through us, you know, cutting us right through. It's about cleaning out all the ick, the gunk, the crap that we've been just storing in. There's nothing that we do that's going to be hidden. You got to understand that. That is the power of which we hold that sword. What we have to understand is it's not going to be us cutting through into people's hearts and lives. It's the Holy Spirit. It is God's word that is alive. And if we're just running around with a toy sword, ain't going to do much reaching out to people. It isn't going to change hearts. They ain't going to find Jesus. They're not going to grow in their faith. They're not going to realize, hey, I'm a sinner, and hey, there's a God that loves me. Because we don't even walk around with the sword correctly. So when we stop studying, stop reading, become stale, thinking God's word can't teach us anything new, start allowing the world's version of the sword to switch from the sword of the spirit to the sword of the flesh, which is the greed for this world and materials of it. Another word is avaricious. Okay. It basically means being greedy of the materials of this world and wanting money and power, whatever it may be. I would relate this to chasing the flesh. You know how we talk about it in scripture, chasing the flesh versus the spirit. So we become hungry to elevate ourselves in money, power, materials, anything that puts us in the lead, that, you know, whatever has, you know, our identity is placed on, whatever puts us at the top. And that sword of the flesh becomes a vicious weapon. They'll strike anyone, it doesn't matter who they hurt, to be able to get what they want. This is what it means living in the flesh or living in the spirit. God's worldview, world's worldview. There are two different type of weapons. The toy sword is the sword of the flesh because it's all about finding everything you can in this world to give you the pleasure that you want, desires that you want. This is why the hand in hand of the shield of pride and the sword of flesh works so well. The pride keeps us from wanting to change. Sword of flesh gives us what our heart's desire really wants. And we don't care who gets hurt by what we desire, as long as we get what we want. Let's take a quick break.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Welcome back. So when we are chasing after the world, they promise us so much. I mean, we hear it from like idols like Taylor Swift and Beyonce. We hear it from sports, like from players, ex-players, from coaches, from news articles, hobbies that we get ourselves involved in, the jobs that we get that seem to say, hey, if you do this, you get paid lots of money and you'll feel a lot better having all that money. Churches, religions promise us so much if we just believe in ourselves. Because the truth is, guys, not every church is teaching the truth. And we need to be aware. We got to pay attention. But when the truth of Scripture states to us, we are supposed to be humble. We're supposed to be godly.
We're supposed to walk in truth. We're supposed to be men that lead our families. We're supposed to have values, integrity, character. And yet we don't seem to understand that when we take our eyes off Scripture, we start not paying attention as we should. We start becoming like the flesh, and our sword changes. We often feel broken because we have placed our value in this world, in the flesh. Galatians 5:16-26. But I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. They will not coincide. So if you are very fleshly and you're living like the world and you're chasing after world things, you're not helping your spiritual walk with God. You're actually weakening it. It's opening the doors more to be attacked. Continue in the verse, for these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing things you want to do. Okay. The things you want to do is not what you want. It's actually because you're focusing on the Lord. It's actually God's will that you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. It has a list: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, and those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You are chasing after this stuff, it's going to hinder you. It's going to keep you from seeing God. You're not going to see God's will in your life. You're not going to be walking in truth. You're not going to be hanging out with people that are going to encourage you to walk with the Lord. You're not going to want to go to church. You're not going to want to be around other believers. You're not going to care how you talk. You're not going to care what you see. You're not think it's just going to start basically covering everything over with these desires. And those of this world, they're not going to get into the kingdom. They're not going to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And you're following in the same path that they're going, but you're following in the sense that you're missing out on all the opportunities God could be using you to make a difference in this world for His will. This is why the next verse says, but the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. You see, the idea is, because I remember when I did this back 2 years ago on the armor of God, I talked about the sword, and I said the fruits of the Spirit were like the stances, the sword stances, how you stand. So each one of these are different stances by which we represent our style of sword fighting, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And how many times do we struggle in all these areas? But the more you practice those stances, the better you become, because your armor is coming from the studies and growth you're getting from being in God's word, from praying, from being with other believers, from spending time with those believers, because you want the accountability, you want the encouragement, you want to know if you're actually living right. You're living your life right. You want to watch your mouth, watch your thoughts, watch your heart, protect your shield. You know what I mean? Because Christ died for our flesh, crucified it, so that we're not bound or enslaved to that law of sin. Once again, we walk around with that silly toy sword. And we've kind of forgotten what it's like to be that child with such faith and vigor as we stood against the enemy. We never lost those battles, did we? We never failed to complete the mission. And we stood there with that stick raised out like a sword, yelling at the top of our lungs, and just charging into that battle with such a belief that nothing was going to happen. Because we knew who was at home. Do we know who's behind us? Do we know that God is there for us? Do we know that His word is really true? Do we know His word? Do we stand with such fierceness every day because we know who's behind everything that we're living by and whose will we're trying to chase? How we're supposed to live in such a godly manner? That stick will turn into that sword of the Spirit once we start recognizing the power that's in God. Not because we are given that power in that sense. We don't control it. It is God's word. It is powerful. It cuts through like a two-edged sword. Nothing is unblockable. That's how strong God's word is. And we got to stand with confidence, knowing that no matter who's coming at us with whatever words they want to use, God's word still speaks true. And even if they wanted to deny it every single day, even if they want to keep fighting you all the time, even if they just say, I don't care, I don't love God, God is not real, you keep speaking truth. But you can only know that if you're walking in it. Because it starts with, we got to stop living for ourselves. Because all you're going to keep doing is you're going to run around with that dull sword that's just too heavy. So you switch it up and you get your that toy sword. I mean, at least I have a sword in my hands. Because I am just good enough. I mean, I don't have to be. I'm not trying to be a pastor or anything. I'm just living my life the best I can. You know why people use that statement? Because they don't want to be placed in a position where they are accountable. Because you remember in scripture, it says pastor is going to be placed in a more accountable position. And people use that statement because they're trying to escape accountability. In some cases, responsibility. Well, I can never be like a pastor. Guys, pastor struggles just as much as you do. The difference is we spend time in God's word. And we have more freedom to spend time more in God's word. But at the same time, it's all about spending time in God's word. We make time to pray. And then we do our best to live out the scriptures in our everyday. Stop fooling yourselves to think that just good enough is the way you're supposed to live, that you can't be better. Yes, you can. It doesn't mean all of us are going to be pastors training other men, but we're also supposed to be discipling. So we are going to be training other men. It may just be different compared to what a pastor's responsibility is for the whole. It's the same battlefield, guys. Same war, same sword of the Spirit, same Holy Spirit. He's not different than other people. He's only different with people who are willing and not willing. Is there still going to be consequences for our choices? There's still going to be issues with our hearts and our minds if we don't trust and have faith in God. Why? Because we have placed God's word in our heart to be hidden so that we may not sin against God. Because it's quite interesting, because Psalms 119, 11 through 16 states this: I have stored up your word in my heart. And we all know that the word stored means like putting away. So you're putting God's word in your heart like a storage container. Because every time it gets open, it's going to have it. And right after that, it says that I might not sin against you. Meaning God. Then verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Well, I don't understand. Well, ask him to teach you, and he will teach you. Verse 13, with my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. In other words, what you tell me, I take it. It's a declaration. Verse 14, in the way of your testimonies I delight. Every time God shows us something of what he's doing, delight in that. Thank him. Be excited at what God is doing. And the thing is, he says, I delight as much as in all riches. So we're supposed to be just as excited as if you got $10 million because of what he has done for us and all the things that he's done for us. And if you're saying, well, I never see him do anything, guys, God doesn't have to be throwing you $10 million blessings at you. Sometimes it's little things. You got to pay attention. It's one of the hardest things I have had to learn, is that not understanding, you know, I'm wanting the big stuff kind of happen, but at the same time, I got to notice those little things that God has done and the teachings he's done through those little things, the good and the bad. And I need to delight in those. Verse 15 says, I will meditate on your precepts. That means whatever God's word you've been stuffing in your heart, stuffing in your mind and your eyes, the meditate is to think on, to spend time on. So throughout the day, while you're working, there was a verse that stood out. Maybe have a Bible nearby on your phone or whatever, and just kind of throughout the day, remember, you know, read over a couple of those verses or verses that, you know, hit you today. And kind of just go over them and ask God, hey, you know, what does this mean? Can you give me other verses? Can you help somebody to kind of connect with me to help me see that? Continuing on verse 15, and fix my eyes on your ways. This is like an everyday battle call for you. If anything, plant this in your workroom, plant this in your car. So every day you read these same verses over and over again. It says, fix my eyes on your ways. Lord, remind me every day to make sure that I keep my eyes clear, keep my heart clear, keep my mind clear, and it have be filled with just you. So that I don't sin against you, for one, and two, so that I can walk upright and be a man of a character, have integrity. Because in verse 16, it says, I will delight in your statutes. I will delight in your truths. I will delight in your ways. I will delight in your rules. I'll delight in your in what you're asking me to do, and me being obedient to do it. And then the second half of verse 16, I will not forget your word. You see, if you're meditating, delighting, and you're doing, you know, spending some time in God's word, or even if it's just, man, there's like four verses that you just have been just spending your whole week on. There's nothing wrong with that. You do not have to be doing verses all the time where it's like every day has to be something else. It could be just, hey, these verses right here for a whole week. You just keep reading them over and over every day. You keep asking God to teach you new things, and God will give you other verses, send you to other articles. Maybe it's to a certain person, maybe to your pastor, maybe you don't know. But the idea is, I will not forget your word. Because that word becomes the sword of the Spirit. And you're taking that with you everywhere you go. And it's going to remind you of truth. It's going to give you wisdom. It's going to give you understanding, because the Holy Spirit gives that sword the power. So when you know those guys at work, they're wanting to go out to eat, and they're like, hey, let's go to Hooters. Hey, let's go to this one bar that has some chicks that, you know, dress really, you know, not the way we want to be looking at them. You can say, no, I'm good. Thank you, guys. Now, if you wanted to go somewhere else, I'd be totally up to that. And they ask you, well, why? What's the problem? You're not a man or something? And if they try to use the other word to identify, you say, no, I just respect women. That's all you have to say. And if they give you crap for it, I've been down that road. And I've told this story before. The guys, went to Hooters every single, I think it was like every Thursday night or something, or Friday night, and they would try to invite me, but they knew that I wouldn't go because I would not go because of my quote-unquote faith. And they did this several times over, and they laughed about it because they would be like, oh, well, he's, you know, Dude won't be going, so it's not a big deal. And I remember my manager, who watched me that whole time, I never went. And they said, hey, let's go out again. And they're like, let's just go to Hooters as usual. And he said, no, let's go somewhere so that Dito can come with us. See, that's what I mean. My manager saw the sword of the Spirit. He saw how I stood. Instead of continuing to allow those guys to do what they did, he respected me enough to say, I want him to be there. Let's go somewhere else. I wasn't a pastor, guys. I was a low-paid drafter who designed home designs. Just starting in this world. I wasn't into ministry. Well, I kind of was. I was helping. But like, I'm not who I was today, if that makes sense. Because I didn't forget his word. And I kept trying to protect my eyes. I mean, it's harder now, guys. It's way harder now. And I get it. Conversations in Discord, you know, is pointing out how hard it is. But we can still stand, and we can stand together, and we can stand with our armor, and we can stand boldly. And we can stand like that child did when we were children, holding that stick sword out. It's a sword of the Spirit. Because this is the thing. This is how it works. We'll be able to stand against the enemy with that faith we had as a child. But as an adult, we got to stop forgetting how it was. There are many other men who did not have the experience of having good parents, good guardians, who may be orphaned, who may lost their parents at a young age and now been foster home to foster home. There may be guys who didn't have parents who were godly, didn't teach them the truth. Did not get that experience that I was blessed with. And this is why this episode is so important. We need to start paying attention, guys. There are other men who are struggling every day, not understanding the armor of God, not understanding their purpose in God's will, not understanding what it means to be a man, godly man, Christ follower, a disciple. We need to start waking up. We need to start living for truth. Stop hiding. We need to start sharing these examples of living with God's word and living it out. and it begins today for you. If you're willing to stop walking around with that toy sword and start being serious about God, all it takes is letting go of that sin, repenting of it, is to taking the time to want to grow and stop passing it off as if it's only a pastor's job to do this. Stop cutting yourself short. If you're broken, we're broken too. We had our struggles. God could still use you. It just takes us saying, Lord, I'm not worthy of you. I'm not worthy of you leading me. I'm not worthy of you being my Lord. I'm not worthy of you. But I know what Christ has done for me. And I'm willing to follow you no matter how hard it gets. Good and the bad. Teach me to wield my sword with such faith that I had as a child. That I may defeat the enemy. That I may walk in truth. That I may be a man of integrity, of character. That loves you first, above everything. And just let God do what he needs to do to help you get there. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. I ask you, bless it. I ask that you allow us to be able to walk with you in confidence and faith and trust because we are putting your word in our hearts. We're walking in truth and we're allowing it to be able to penetrate through the guck and the problems and the hurt, allowing it to heal, to mend the brokenness, to show us what it means to stay faithful to your truth, to stand firm in truth. So there are any guys that are listening today, women that are listening today, today is the day. Repent, ask, knock, and trust. Let God open the doors. Let God show you his will. Let God lead you. Fill your heart with his word. Just see what happens. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, you have a great week, and I will see you next time. God bless.